This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. Win, lose or draw, McDelivery will always help bring home the 3 points. And speaking of points, order now on the McDonald's app and you'll earn reward points through every delivery. Order today, rewards tomorrow. You in? Only via app at participating restaurants. 18+, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome back to the Blues Focus podcast. Today I'm joined with Jamie and Zach. Good to meet you boys again.
Hello.
So today we are going to be discussing the Preston game, which has just gone by, some of the protests that took up during the game, as well as the Blackburn game in the FA Cup, which is on the 28th, is it, if I'm not mistaken?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And also some of the protests as well that might be arranged for the West Brom game, which is a big topic of discussion at the moment at the Blues. So let's talk about the Preston game first, though, because that was diabolical, to say the least. Zach, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, it was. I always try and be somewhat positive and look for things that were good, but at the moment I'm really struggling. Yesterday was horrendous, particularly first half. In the second half, we dominated the ball a bit more, but that's natural because Preston had two goals up. They were always going to sit a bit deeper and let us keep the ball. We did have a lot of the ball second half. We did very, very little with it. Overall, it was just another horrific game, and it's poor performance after poor performance at the moment, isn't it? The goal was decent. I thought Djukovic did really well to get up to it. He was good when he came on, as well as George Friend, probably our two best players yesterday. And, you know, they're the two older lads, aren't they? So, once again, you know, frustrating. Preston, they're an average side. They're having an average season. They looked average yesterday. A few times we've played teams that are lower down, like... I'm trying to think of an example. I thought when we played Wigan. Hull, they looked quite good. Wigan, I thought they looked decent. We've played teams lower down who have looked good when they've won and probably deserved it. Yesterday, I don't think Preston were anything special. They had their two chances at the start where they got both goals, but other than that, it was not a whole lot from them. So, losing again to an average side, we're playing awful at the moment. Yeah, just another depressing day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jamie, thoughts?
Yeah, so, what can you say? You've 2-0 down 15 minutes into a game of football at home, like, which is meant to be obviously the massive day for the unfortunate events and the special kit we were wearing, and the whole day just capitulated in 15 minutes flat. We didn't look up for it in the first half. We didn't go for any second ball. We didn't press. We didn't do anything. And it is fucking unforgivable to concede a header at the near post from a corner. Unforgivable defending, that is. That is just shite, isn't it? We looked clueless. We finally changed to a 4-4-2 and we all got so excited and going, yes, fuck me, we're going for it. And we were shit. You probably see why he plays three centre-backs now, because we are fucking diabolical at defending at the minute.
Yeah, I agree. I think when I saw the team posted, I thought, oh, this is the best team we've put out in ages. It looks brilliant. We had Kedra, who actually, I thought he was good yesterday. Kedra
he tried.
Very good. A bit of pace on the wing, actually taking the game to players and looking to dribble and, you know, just take on players, which we don't see enough at Blues. I thought he was good. Other than that, yeah, defensively at the moment, we're just capitulating, aren't we? I mean, pre-World Cup, I think we had a +4 goal difference. Now we're on, what, -5? Ridiculous. We're leaking in so many goals, aren't we?
It just seems to be the same run of form we always go after Christmas, doesn't it? It never seems to ever change, really. It's really frustrating to see.
How have we
gone from we could be in playoffs to fuck me, here we go again, it's relegation dogfight now?
Because the team isn't stable enough and we don't have enough backup and we don't have enough money
to bring in players who are going to put in those positions. We're having to rely on players who we've got for a certain amount of time, loan players, and then the worry of them getting injured and then having to play players out of position like Jordan Graham at left wing back. That's the real reason we're not confident about it.
I'd argue, and I've seen a few people speak about this, I'd argue that these are the same group of players that pre-World Cup were putting in superb performance after superb performance. We beat QPR 2-0. We beat Bristol City 3-0. We were playing well each game. Mm-hmm. Very little in that Blues team has changed. Yes, George Hall's been injured. Harley Dean's been injured. But we've brought in Kedra. We've got Kevin Long, you know, he's come in. Not much about Blues has changed pre-World Cup to now. So why all of a sudden is the team capitulating and not picking up results? This is, I've seen people say, oh, the owners this, the owners that. Yes, inherently, overall, the owners, of course, are destroying our club. You can see that when you're not a Blues fan. But our last five games have been dismal. And Eustace and the players do have to take some responsibility for that, because this team was fine before the World Cup. So what's going so wrong now? I don't know if you guys have an answer for that. But everything's just capitulated, hasn't it?
Well, I don't know about you, Jamie. I just feel like the players might need a bit of a rest, really, because they've been playing. Austin Trusty's been playing every single minute this season, hasn't he? He played in the Cup game. I mean, how many games have we played this season? Is it like 24, 25 or something like that?
Something around there.
Yeah. I don't know. Just some of those players, players like Trusty, you know, like they work hard as well. So I feel like they might just need a rest. Bakuna clearly needs a rest, you know. I think that's something that, because a player of his talent, I mean, the start of the season he was on fire, but you look into it now and you think, yeah, he's probably a bit tired. But also as well, like, they're good players and all, but they're not the best players in the Championship as well. So I feel like some of their ability might be a little bit overestimated. I feel like with players like Bakuna, he's at us for a reason. Same players for Chong and Hannibal and players like that. Even though Hannibal's on loan, I feel like we you know, they are good players, but they're not the best players, is pretty much what I'm trying to get at there.
Yeah.
I mean, you say tired, though. I'm sure Preston players are tired. I'm sure Hull. I'm sure every team. And, you know, we played the same amount of games. And, you know, it's not as if we don't have... isn't great, but we've got players who can come on in the 60th minute, 70th minute, in Djukovic, in Alfie Chang, in, you know, George Hall once he's fully fit. There are players, yes, they're not the best, but there are players on that bench to come on. We do have the ability to rotate. Longolo wasn't even in the, you know, the on the bench yesterday. We've got Jordan Graham, who's, yes, not doing the best at the moment, but, you know, can do a decent job when he's on his day. So we've got those backup options and we've got those players that can start. I think we play the same games as every team in the Championship. All players, I'm sure, are tired. We've just had the World Cup break. You know, games aren't too relentless at the moment. I wouldn't use tired as an excuse. I think footballers, you know, have to cope with playing three games a week sometimes, because that's just how the Championship is. Burnley, look at them. I'm sure they're tired. They've lost twice all season. Do you know what I mean? I don't think tiredness is an excuse.
I don't know, though, because it's like, it's still a lot of games, and they have had to play a lot of games this season. Mm. And whether they're fully fit as well, Scott Hogan doesn't look fully fit.
No, he doesn't. No.
So, you know, starting him yesterday again, that's why I thought Djukovic should have started, because he came on, changed the game. Yeah. Too late again. That's what I'm saying. If he'd have started, I don't think we definitely had created more chances. But as well, I don't think we'd have messed up those chances to concede from as well, because I think Kadra could have had like an option in Duke to get it into the box and head it down, and there'd be something in there to stop it from going in, you know. But
I've got you.
Like, Deeney did nothing yesterday. I didn't notice him at all.
No, he's been very quiet the last few games, Deeney. So's Hogan. Maybe they're not getting the service, but then the best strikers are able to bring themselves into the game regardless of service or not, aren't they? So.
True.
Every player on the pitch just isn't performing at the moment. I mean, can you think of one player who's doing well at the moment?
Ruddy? I still can't blame Ruddy for anything.
No, you're probably right. I mean, the goals he's let in recently can't really be to blame for any of them. I mean, the goals yesterday were two he could have done nothing about. So aside from Ruddy, I can't really think of anyone else who consistently every single week is performing well.
Yeah. Do you want to just test your microphone, Jamie? Because it's gone a bit crackly again.
Djukovic?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's done well every time. Even the Middlesbrough game where we lost 3-1, he didn't have a bad game. We weren't getting any fucking service around him. Play to the guy's strengths.
I agree with that. I think Djukovic has been fantastic. He's been fantastic for years.
Start him against Blackburn.
Was that his 60th goal for the club yesterday? Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Is that joint with Trevor Francis now?
Not joint, but the first one since Trevor Francis to get to 60. Yeah.
I knew there was something along those lines. Okay, I mean, fair play to him. I agree with Djukovic. I mean, people have said Bielik just doesn't look the same at the moment.
Doesn't he need the rest?
Again, this is what I'm saying. This is like they look tired. They don't look like they're players that, like, when you consider where we played them against Preston away, that performance was incredible. It was absolutely heroic. Bielik was like,
and he was half
fit. Yeah, exactly. Man mountain. The whole team just pulled together. They pressed from the front. We got a goal. We held out for a 1-0. We probably could have won by more. You see how much has changed since when was it? September, that game? You know, like, we're in January now. A lot has changed in that team mentality. But, like, we just don't pull along in the same way.
But why are we tired and other teams don't seem tired?
We don't have players to replace them, though, do we?
Yeah. Confidence as well.
We didn't look
confident yesterday at all.
Mm.
Chong was... Where the fuck was Chong yesterday?
Mm. No, I do agree with that.
He was terrible. And I love Chong, but I think he was shite yesterday. I'm sorry to say it.
Maxine Collin
offered more as a right back than he did as a fucking winger.
Yeah, you can say it for every player. Every single Birmingham City player on that pitch at the moment, bar probably John Ruddy, because there's not a lot you can do about any of the goals he's letting lately, or Djukovic is doing well. Aside from those two, you could say every player on that pitch isn't pulling their weight at the moment. Everyone looks off it. No one looks up for it. Even just like small details, like the amount of times yesterday Long would pick up the ball in the centre of defence and just play it long. The amount of times we try the long pass and it doesn't work is insane. I swear our game plan is to pick up the ball at the back, and it's been this way for years, and distribute it wide. Like, we've done it off kickoff countless times when we come back to the defence, hoof it up the pitch, leaves nothing.
That's so annoying.
Hannibal Mabry, and I said this yesterday, is more than capable of dropping into that midfield, picking up the ball and taking it forward for us. Because if a player presses him, that means there's going to be another player free somewhere. He is a ball-playing midfielder. He's more than capable to step in and take the ball forward. And the few times he did it yesterday, we saw far more success than the long ball. The long ball is pissing me off. It doesn't work.
It needs to stop. Yeah. It needs to stop. I'm sick to death of long ball football. It is not how... If you're going to play long ball and you're going to implement this bullshit tactic, that's fine, but you've got a 6'4" weapon on the fucking bench. Mm-hmm. Start him. If you're going to play this kind of game, that's fine. But Lukas Djukovic is built for that.
Yeah, literally. Completely agree with both what you said there. I just don't see the idea where this has come to being like... It's happened in two occasions where I can remember, like Boya last season and Clotet in his season, where we were playing some nice football, we were playing some decent football at times. And then for some strange reason, we end up playing long ball, kick and chase football all of a sudden. It's like, where's all this come from? I mean, we were playing decent football.
I know. There's sometimes I'm no tactical football expert, right? But sometimes there is a correct time to play a long ball. Sometimes there isn't, right? And sometimes a long ball will pay off. But more often than not, it doesn't. And we don't seem to know when to play a long ball and when to play it short. Because it just seems like our go-to every time, either Sanderson, Trusty or Long pick up that ball, it's hoofed up to the striker or hoofed wide to the wingers. And I'd say, realistically, 80% of the time it doesn't work. I'd say about 1 in 5 times a Blues player will head it on and will win it and keep possession. Most of the time, we won't. And even when we do win it, we tend to give it away a second later from another long ball played out wide to the other wing. It's just, it doesn't work. It does not work. Mabry, Kedra, Chong, all more than capable of picking the ball up from deep and taking it forward for us.
Yeah. Completely. And that's why we won games earlier this season, playing that type of football.
Yeah, it's such a shame things have changed. I mean, I said it a few times, pre-World Cup, enjoy it, because football changes very quickly. And that's not to say it could change very quickly again. We could get one or two players before the end of the window on loan or as permanents, whatever, that just change this team, like happened in the summer. So, but at the moment, it's a rocky patch. Hopefully we can just get through it and start picking up results again.
We'll have a quick talk about Blackburn before talking about the protests, which were a big something that happened yesterday. Thoughts on the game? Are we confident we're going to win?
I think we need to. I think we need some kind of fucking momentum at the minute. You know, Blackburn actually drew a game as well, so that'll be fun. You know, finally got one. Finally got only 1 point in the game for once. stop. Do it. Just start people. Give people a run. And if you're going to go, I mean, so I'm going to
start. It's breaking up again, Jamie.
Oh no, it's returned.
I don't know how it does it.
I hate my life. I'm going to sound like an idiot for what I'm about to say. If you're not going to play 4-4-2, try a 4-3-3 or something. We seem to need three centre mids in that team because we're not the greatest of footballing teams. We need three centre mids. And I know that means you lose either Deeney or you lose Hogan out of that 11. But at the minute, you just have to try and pick up results. Hogan hasn't looked match fit since he's come back.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'd give him a rest this weekend.
I'm a big believer in, and I said this to my dad yesterday, if things are working, keep them the same. If they're not working, change it up. 4-4-2 didn't work yesterday. 3-5-2 isn't working. Try 4-3-3. It's worth it, because if you try the same thing over and over again, you're just going to get the same results over and over again, aren't you? So mix it up, yeah? 4-4-4-3-3, why not?
There's a deploy good mix Big Duke as well. Yeah, there's a good mix as well of midfielders and wide options then as well, because you've got four wide players, fullbacks and wingers. And you've also got three midfielders that two can sit, or one can sit and two can attack and one can attack. And as well, you've got Djukovic up top, who's scored two goals in two games. You know, he's looking pretty decent. You've got two wide options potentially in Chong and Kadra. You could even move Bakuna into a wider position at times. You can drop him back into midfield. That's why 4-3-3 has been so widely accepted as being like the best formation in the world. At least, you know, it's like, I mean, I'm not comparing the two, but like 2011 Barca is the reason why they were so good, is because playing that 4-3-3.
That's a comparison that is Blues. And it was. I'm not
comparing. I'm not comparing the ability, not at all. I'm saying the fact that 4-3-3 is a very good formation to use. It's a very solid formation to use.
Yeah, and how powerful does a 4-3-3 at Birmingham City sound? You know what I mean? In terms of John Ruddy in goal, Maxine, Sanderson, Trusty, Longello / friend, and then you've got Bielik at CDM, Hannibal and Bakuna in the centre of the park. Obviously, Hannibal will do a bit more of the dogged work. Bakuna then has got that freedom to fuck about on the ball like he loves to. Chong, Kedra, Jukovic. That is a good 11.
Great team.
You've got them two running off Uke, or get close to Uke when the goal kick's taken. You've got two pacey lads either side of him. You're on for a win.
And not to bring Longello back into the talking point again, but I think he's great. I'd love to see Longello left wing, George Friend left back. I'd love to see it. I think Longello's a great footballer. I've said it so many times. I think he's a great footballer. Going forward, I think he's brilliant.
Because as well, you can adapt that into a 4-2-3-1 then. So rather than playing Longello right up front, you have him coming back a bit as well, playing in that midfield five. So there is potential for that as well.
Justice for Longello, that's what I say. Deserves to be in that Blues team, no doubt.
The problem is we need a Blues player who can cross a fucking football as well. That's the other issue we don't seem to be able to do.
Bakuna twice yesterday. He took the first corner, hit the first man. Second corner, man. It's like, come on. I can fucking cross the ball.
Honestly, I don't know how professional footballers can't take a corner. It's a static ball and it's what, no more than a 20-yard pass. Most of them, 8 out of 10 times, a corner should be going where you're aiming for it. The fact that corners just don't, it's when they don't go past the front post and you're like, oh man, how's that happened? But
or it's when someone just kicks it out for a goal kick and you're like, really?
Oh, I know. Like, I know. I mean, if I see that down at Blues, I'm losing my head. honestly.
Well, back. Didn't Bakker do it near enough at Bristol City away last week? He did a corner and it was like he was either going for goal and it just spooned completely out over the other side of the post. I was like, oh.
Yeah, it might have done actually. I do feel like I remember that now. Yeah, not great. The form needs to pick up quickly because where are we in the table now? 20th?
I'm too scared.
We're a couple of teams below us with games in hands.
We're home, boys. That's where we are.
I'm too scared to look. I'm genuinely too scared. I think we're on 32 points. I know that much. I don't know where. I know we're not in the bottom three because people would have mentioned it, but I don't want to look.
We are 19th.
I'm too scared to check.
19th. Rotherham, Cardiff, Huddersfield, Blackpool, and Wigan are below us.
And the issue we've got is we've got West Brom coming up after this in the league, haven't we?
Got a tough few games coming up as well.
And we've got Cardiff coming up, I think, Valentine's Day. That feels like a fucking relegation six-pointer.
It is. 100%.
We've got Huddersfield to come up to.
Cardiff are an absolute mess at the moment. I feel awful because their owners are just as bad as ours. But, oh, it's... Yeah.
We've still got to play all of those, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that worries me this year is in the last few seasons, we've had probably a team with a points deduction, or we've had, like, an out, you know, a team that's just almost destined for relegation at the start, like Wickham, or like Derby last season, who had the points deduction, Reading had a points deduction as well. This year, it's all quite tight. No teams have had a points deduction. There's no standout shocking team.
Yeah.
Because like you said, Jamie, I thought Wigan looked good against us. Blackpool
we lost
again,
to Rotherham as well.
Drew to them, lost to Rotherham. So there's no standout.
We got shit on by Rotherham.
We didn't just lose.
We got absolutely dick slapped for 90 minutes against Rotherham. Let's be honest.
They looked very good, Rotherham. They had Paul Warne at the time, though, didn't they?
Think so.
Manager.
Yeah.
So he's obviously Derby now. So and they've declined since Paul Warne's gone, but. Yeah, it's just depressing talking about Blues, being involved with Blues. Everything about it is just sad at the moment, isn't it?
That's all you used to say, you can't sign unless you sell.
It's gonna break it, it's gonna break it.
I saw you used to say something about can't buy less sell.
What?
In press conference, apparently. He basically hinted towards he won't be able to buy anyone unless he sells first.
Oh, I see, yeah. No, I'm with you now, yeah.
I thought you said he can't buy Lascelles. I was like, who the hell's Lascelles? Is this a player I haven't heard of?
Newcastle defender,
okay.
I don't know.
Fucking bring him in.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah,
I have been reading Neil's Effridge is going, apparently Huddersfield.
Stoke maybe are interested now as well, and Stoke have been looking for a goalkeeper for ages, and I said to my Stoke mate, why haven't you got Effridge? He's just sitting on our bench gathering dust, and now they might be, so...
It's literally last podcast we were talking about that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, surely he's got value as well. After that triple save he pulled off against Forest Green, all that's done is increase his fucking value as well.
It's probably why clubs are interested now. They remembered, oh yeah, Neil Effridge, and they remember him in the Premier League and what he's doing, what he did on Tuesday. So, yeah, he deserves a move, and I wish him all the best.
One of our big earners as well. Open some wages.
Definitely does, yeah.
100%, that's the thing. And I don't know... not to do my usual steering the conversation on, but what do you think about, obviously the club are giving 500 coach travel to Blackburn, and I've seen a lot of backlash that not all fans are getting it.
It's one bullet in the foot to the other, isn't it, really, with the club? Because how did it go? Did they offer, like, free coach travel through Boyle Sports? Is that how
it
first came about?
The very first tweet about it, I can't remember, but the first one I saw saying they were giving 500 seats away or something like that. I'll try get it up now. But I've seen a lot of people complain about it not being everyone. So we've been given an allocation of 7,000, haven't we? Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, the club can't possibly afford everyone. Because if you think about it, I don't know how much a coach is because I've never had it, but what, 30 quid maybe? 20, 30 quid?
Mm.
Times that by 7,000, you're looking at about £200,000. That's a week's
added
wages
to the 175
the
million
this
pounds
is the thing.
Already.
The amount of comments I saw of people saying, well, why isn't it all fans? Well, you've got to think about it. The club is a business. We want financial stability and we want to be able to, you know, thrive for the next 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. The club spending £200,000, spending all 7,000 fans to Blackburn, it's just not possible. That's a week's wages for players. Like, We want to be a stable club, and fans want that. It can't happen. It just can't happen.
That's what I thought. They put the tweet out saying that we will pay for that travel. That's what I thought. I thought that's what the outrage was about.
I'm having a look now. So I want to know the very first tweet, because if they initially promised all away fans, then changed it to 500, that's not good. But I'm
pretty
sure.
I think it might have been something like that. Yeah.
Do you think?
I think so. Yeah.
See, that's bad then. If they're promising all away fans, then change it to 500. That is bad. But if it was, we're giving away 500 and then they stuck with 500. That's more than fair. I think it's a good gesture from the club anyway. They needed a bit of positive PR after the Forest Green incident, saying fans would have to pay for the coach travel despite having already used the journey. So I think it's quite a good thing we've done.
We don't seem to do PR in the best way at Birmingham City Football Club. Don't get me wrong, I'm pissing in the wind with this one, but if you were going to do something tactically like that, that's fine. Why don't you just give all the, you know, I'm guessing the coaches in terms of the disabled fans, give them free travel. Do something like that, which would be really good. Do you know what I mean?
I think they use Blues, though. I think that's what they do.
Oh, okay.
They're good travel company. They're good for those people. I don't know, it's just one cock up after the other, because they said that they weren't going to refund people's tickets in the Forest Green travels, and it was something along those lines.
Yeah, it was. They said, use the excuse of you've used the journey.
You have to buy it again. What a fucking joke, though.
That is ridiculous, because it wasn't a whole load of fans. We were given an allocation of, 1,100? So that wouldn't have been a load. That wouldn't have been a huge financial dent. I think sending 7,000 fans to Blackburn is a huge cost at the club. I see why they're not doing it. I think it's a great gesture, even sending 500, because that's, you know, that's still a lot of money for what is a small, financially struggling club. But that was bad before. That was very bad, and the backlash, they deserved it, and at least they rectified it. So,
well, that kind of segues us nicely onto talking about the protests. I was there filming it yesterday. Did you join in, Zach, or did you just watch from afar?
No, I was... maybe I should have done, and full respect to those who did join in and made their voices heard, because I 100% think it's needed. But I was... No, I was poor for me. I just...
I can completely understand why some people might not want to join into the process. Like, if you've got an elderly relative or someone you're taking care of, or if you've got children, for example, then, of course, you don't want to join in for this. I just feel like, though, it's there's a lot of division on this at the moment, isn't there, through Twitter and social media, which is it's difficult to try and sort of find a good route that everybody's going to be interested in, because obviously protesting is a very intimidating thing, isn't it? And for me personally, you know, I'm not the most extroverted person. I don't get thrills by those sort of things. I'm quite quiet and reserved. So standing in that crowd, it can be quite scary sometimes, but I know what I care about, so I will stand in that crowd and I will have a moan at the owners and people who sat in the boxes. I saw one of the people who were in charge. I don't know what their name was, but somebody got a better angle of it of me. Some guy goes up to him and starts having a shout at him, and he pretty much just gets up and leaves immediately. So there was, you know, just they just didn't want to be a part of it, which I don't know. I mean, it's a bit of an interesting thing to really think about, really, but. Yeah, I thought it was definitely, I don't know, it grabbed the Blues' attention, that's for sure. But if we're going to get these owners out, then we need more media attraction in that way. We need people like Sky to come and talk to us about it, because one thing I've noticed actually when Scunthorpe did their pitch invasion, and I'm not exactly saying that we should do the exact same, but as soon as it did happen, the whole media team were just on it immediately. Sky and BT and BBC were all just immediately reporting on it. So there's definitely something that needs to happen like that for us as well.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think big respect to the Blues fans that did it yesterday, because, you know, it didn't, you know, no one was hurt and it didn't interrupt or disrupt the game. We got the message out. It got published, but I saw a few articles on it. Hopefully it gets the message across to the right people, because obviously, like, the main guys from BSHL aren't at the game, but they'll hear about it and know it's happened. I think protesting is a great way for voices to be heard, and I know there's one against West Brom in March, and everything going through the city. I think it's good. I think if we just sit there, change isn't going to happen, so as fans, something needs to be done. Like you said, Tommy, I'm not the most extroverted person either. But to the people who do it, yeah, big respect, because hopefully you'll bring change to our football club.
Mostly my brother, really, just shouting you twat to everybody. What do you think, Jamie? What's your opinions on it all?
I think, yeah, protest before it's too fucking late.
It's gone breaky.
You can't get a word in sideways today, mate, without the mic fucking up.
Hello.
Hello. What button do you click out of interest to cause it to stop fucking up?
I just literally click echo cancellation. I turn it on and then I turn it off.
Okay,
and it goes, okay.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I think we have to protest before it's too fucking late.
That's a good
if
point.
We don't want to go down, I mean, if we go down, unfortunately, I was very pro. You know, if it goes down and gets the owners gone, that's fine, but they might be spineless enough just to fucking sit with this now and go, well, we're not losing as much money now we've gone down. We can just suck the club dry of everything, then fuck off.
Yeah.
You know, well, it's, and I think you're right, the quicker Sky get involved, the quicker the media get, the quicker the EFL do a fucking job as well and actually look into the bullshit they gave us would be really helpful.
Yeah, because that's an interesting point you raised there, because it's when protests, a lot of people get that buzzword in their head now and they immediately think of banners, getting in people's faces and having a shout. That's not what protesting is. Protesting is where you test, well, not to break down the word particularly, but, you know, it's to try and challenge the people who are in charge of these things. And you don't have to protest in the way that it's most well known at the Blues. You can go down the legal route and try and get the EFL to force them out of the club, you know, by doing it properly. And like,
but I know fans upon fans have fucking emailed the EFL. I'm aware of that. I know of hundreds of fans that have emailed ways.
You can definitely challenge it in different ways. Like, you can have, I know that there's a few people trying to get their members of parliament to bring it up and try and get like different things going in that way. You know, there is different ways of doing it. So you can have like more, I don't know, maybe more introverted way of doing it. I don't know. That's not the right word, but you know, something that has more like, I can't think of what I'm trying to say.
I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say a less destructive way almost of doing things, or like,
you don't, we don't want violence is what we're basically saying, is we want to do it in a way where it's calm without it kicking off.
So what do you think about like running onto the pitch? Do you think that's a right good way to protest or not? Because for me personally, I don't think that's the best way to do it.
If you want to get fined and lose more money.
Exactly. Potential fines, potential point deductions, games behind closed doors. And I know people argue games behind closed doors is good because it's not bringing revenue into the club and to the owners. But it's sad to see your club sinking, and a club needs money to survive. And it questions where that money goes. You know, it's a massive minefield. There's no right or wrong answer. Blues fans need to come together, think of the best ways to do it, the best way to get the message across, because that's what it's about. It's not being destructive, it's not all this and that, it's getting the message to the people who need to hear the message. And hopefully some good action can be taken from it. But as I said, I thought the protests were really good yesterday, because, you know, it still creates articles, creates media attention, it's done in the right way, game can continue, etc, etc, etc. But yeah, going forward, we need to find the right ways to do it. To hopefully kick them out of the club.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure, like, I've never come across a Blues fan who doesn't want the board out in the owner's house, you know.
Yeah, no one's going, I
they're great, what are you on about?
They're lovely blokes.
I mean, that is the perfect, isn't it? That is our perfect scenario as Birmingham fans, isn't it? We just, you know, we don't need this EFL bullshit. Just fucking sell, just go, and everyone's happy. If they go, just go, whatever. Like, that'd be, in an ideal world, that happens and everyone's just playing silent, but it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen, and it's never going to happen.
Really?
What, BSHL for the rest of our lives?
I don't think these are just going to happily walk out.
No, yeah.
You're not wrong.
We are going to have to. It's going to be a long run, let's face it, until we really.
This is going to be a while, boys.
It is still going to be a lot of a struggle. This is the thing, like, if we stay in the Championship, we can survive by the skin of our teeth. If we get relegated this season, which is still a massive possibility, don't get me wrong, we've hit the bad run of form early this season as well, because we usually get it towards the end of the season, and particularly in the last few seasons as well, like we considered the Clatter season in lockdown. That was a couple of games towards the end, just couldn't buy a win, as well as the Bowyer season as well, like just you couldn't buy a win towards the end of the season. This is January, we haven't won in 5 games. So what we're going to do for these next few games, the players keep on getting injured, players haven't got the right fitness levels, they can't seem to pull a win anywhere. It's going to get tight, it is. And with the division being as tight as it is, like, how many points off the bottom are we? The bottom three.
Six.
So.
I think.
6 points. So 2 defeats, we could be in the bottom three.
Yeah.
That's scary, that is, you know.
It is.
We need to start winning.
Yeah. We're in for a very, very long rest of the season.
I mean, this is going to sound daft, but we need to not even win. Just stop the fucking rut at the minute.
Yeah,
just get a point. like anything at the minute. Like five defeats on the spin. Let's be honest. Yeah. If we walked away with Preston yesterday and equalising last kick of the game, we would have been buzzing, going, you know what? Fuck me.
It's a point. We needed that. Yeah.
Yeah. 0 points of a possible 15 is horrific. And this is why I'm saying, as bad as the owners are, yes, they are destroying the club. Eustace and the players do have to take responsibility, because yeah, 0 from 15 points isn't good enough. They'll know that. They know it's not good enough. And Eustace really needs to try and pick things up and get the players playing correctly. So I'm so sorry I say Eustace. I don't know why I say Eustace. But...
Malvern boys.
Yeah.
It's just that part of the country you're from, lad.
It is. But yeah, we just need to pick things up.
Yeah. Got a question, actually, from the Twitter thing. I did put one out. This guy from BSHL out, BSHL out, keep rhyme. I bet you he's for the owner staying in. Says, might not be a popular idea, but what if we do an open letter to BSHL and the club, similar to what Everton fans and NSWO, I can't see that, did. I don't know. You've gone crackly again. I don't know whether you've seen that open letters to the Everton board and owners. It's quite interesting, actually, because they've got like this, I think it's this list of requirements that they want to have done in a certain amount of time, and they've got loads of Everton fans to sign it, loads of Everton supporters groups and celebrities as well. It looks amazing. They've got fucking thousands of people signing it, and I'm sure, like, I'm absolutely certain that the large majority of Blues fans would sign that. I would sign it, you know, meet these requirements within these time and leave, you know, pretty much. And that's, we sign that list. Everybody would do that, you know. I don't know how you do it, but there's nobody that's going to go, nah. You know what I mean? Nah. Like, no, everybody will sign that. Whether they're going to join in a march or a protest, that's a different thing, you know. It depends on what type of person you are and what type of, and how desperately you want the owners out. I mean, I am desperately wanting the owners out, because all I see at the moment is just relegation and points deductions and the club just disintegrating before our eyes. And like you say, like both of you say, like if we get relegated this season or maybe even next season, like it's going to be disastrous for the club, you know. So I want them out as quickly as possible. And speed is a big thing in football. You know, you need that intensity to suddenly just kick it off, because the sooner they're out, it's the better. Everybody can agree on that as well. I'm sure, like, nobody's thinking, right, give this 5 months and then we can possibly work on it from there.
Yeah. No,
it's got to be now, surely. We've got to try.
Of course. I think an open letter is a great question. It's a great way of doing things. Why not? Will a letter really force these guys out of power? Who knows? But it's only a small thing. But small things build up. If there's been 10 protests done, 5 letters sent, you know, on its own, it doesn't seem much. But accumulatively, hopefully it will start to get the message across and really how much we want them out. You mentioned, Tommy, you're worried about relegation. We've been worried about relegation for years. We've been worried about finances for years. This isn't a this season thing. It's been going on for far, 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 far too long. And it's so unfair on the fans that turn up week in, week out, travel home and away, invest so much money. Do you know how expensive it is to travel home and away with your football club? It's ridiculous. And I know, Tommy, you do it regularly. It's not cheap, is it? So these fans deserve so, so, so much better. And it's ridiculous that this is being allowed to happen. Heartbreaking and ridiculous. So an open letter, protests, do whatever to get these guys out.
There's also stuff you can have, like boycotts as well. I heard one person, I don't know where this is from, was suggesting like a media blackout. So you would have, the idea would be you'd have BSHL out in your profile and banner on Twitter and just spam BSHL out on the hashtag. As well as you'd also have like anything that the club, the club's Twitter profile would put out. Nobody would interact with it at all. No likes, no comments, no nothing. Just immediate, just nothing. Just that's one of the suggestions I heard from somebody on Facebook, probably.
Well, the issue you got with that is that won't be able to work, because you've got half of Tunisia literally jumping on anything via Hannibal. So
it would sadly never work. That I think there's a few reasons that wouldn't work. I think firstly, not everyone would do it, and it's true. If you told everyone to not come to the game against West Brom, you'd get a handful of people do it, but you wouldn't get the whole stadium do it. This is the trouble, I don't think. And I think online it doesn't quite have the same impact. I think because you're behind a screen and you can't really, I don't think you can capture the motions as well. Imagine a load of messages, you know, they'll read them all. It doesn't really mean much, but having 10,000 people marching the streets of Birmingham, it just feels like a greater impact, being able to visually see people and their anger and emotions compared to just a message on a screen. So, yeah, again, social media is a decent way of doing it, but I think there's better. But again, like I said, anything's worth a go just to help this club move forward.
All very interesting, boys. Any final things to say before we wrap this up?
Fuck BSL, Joe.
Yeah, we can all agree on that, definitely.
Yeah, there's not a lot to say. I think we've covered pretty much everything. Just stick with it, Blues fans. The only way is up.
My dad keeps saying that to me. You know, it's pissing me off now. You know, he just says things can only get better. I'm like, no, they really can get worse. No,
Blues will find a way. 5-0 against Baggies.
Oh God. So thank you guys for listening. This has been the Blues Focus podcast. I've been joined by Jamie and Zach. Thank you guys for joining me as usual. We will be back after the Blackburn game to review the hopefully a win in the FA Cup. We're into the fifth round if we do win that game, actually. So that'll be a little bit of a celebratory celebration to have. Celebratory? Why the hell did I say that, honestly? I'm terrible at outros. Thank you guys for joining us. Be sure to like and subscribe, and also get your thoughts as well down in the comments. It's a big... I'm very interested to hear what people's opinions are, actually. I'm more than happy to discuss. I'm more than happy to debate and argue a couple of things as well. Because at the end of the day, we all want the same things, like we just said. We all want BSHL outs. We don't want these in the club anymore. We want to be playing well. We all want to be supporting the club positively again. You know, that was hard yesterday because it was difficult to watch the game. It was also difficult to protest as well because it's not what you want to be doing realistically. So, yeah, thank you guys for watching. Like I said, be sure to like and subscribe. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram and YouTube. You can also follow us on Spotify and listen to it on there. Also through the Sports Social Network and on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you guys for listening and keep right on.
Keep right on.
Keep right on.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are around, you've got your McNugget share box ready to go, your mates are already booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.